Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store. This weekend's message is from Allie Worthington. Allie is the best-selling author of Breaking Busy and Fierce Faith. She's a great teacher, speaker, and writer.
It is so nice to be back with y'all. You let me do Mother's Day last year. You let me come back again this year. I'm so grateful. Both last year and this year, everyone said, Allie, it is such a sacrifice for you to be here with us. Thank you so much. And I'm like, it is not a sacrifice. I have five sons at home. I stayed in a hotel. I ate snacks in bed. I didn't even have to be a good example. It was amazing. Plus, my husband called to let me know that since I left home, we have a terrible virus going through the house. And he said, you are blessed to not be here. So thank you, Northeast. You've given me an amazing Mother's Day already. I brought a most recent family picture of us. We're not fancy. We don't take a lot of great fancy pictures. But this is us with our friend Mickey at our last trip to Disney. It was about 175,000 degrees that day. And this is the picture we took right after everybody had a big argument over if it was worth it to spend like $3,000 on ice cream for everyone. So this is us. My husband and I have five boys. The youngest is 10 and the oldest is 20. And one of my favorite things about having all boys is I can tell stories about them and protect their privacy. Because if I just had a boy and a girl, you'd know who I was talking about. So here's one of my favorite mom stories that happened to me recently. We were all at Target going back to school shopping. And one of the boys said, Mom, I need to go get some underwear. And I said, well, great, go to the underwear aisle and, you know, get a couple pair of underwear. And he goes, no, I need two jumbo packs of underwear. And I said, well, okay, buddy, why? Why do you need all that underwear? And he goes, I only have two pair. I said, you're supposed to tell me when you run out of things. There's too many children in this house for me to keep up with all the details. What have you been doing all this time without underwear? He said, I wear it when it's clean. I wear it when it's dirty. And sometimes I don't wear it at all. I set the bar of success in my motherhood really low so I can just leap right over it. And I like to share these stories because I feel like as parents, we are all really living the same life behind the scenes. You know, we put up the fancy pictures on Instagram where we look good, but behind the scenes, it's a mess for everybody, so we might as well talk about it and be honest. So I started looking for some great mom and dad stories online, and I found three that I want to share with you that I love. Here's the first one. I told my 8-year-old, yeah, go ahead and catch a squirrel, thinking that he would never do it. He came home with two wild squirrels and one bit him. I mean, it's bad because you need a rabies shot, but then on the other hand, it bodes well for a future athletic career because that kid's fast. I love this one. I gave my daughter an accidental uppercut to the face when my hand slipped trying to unbutton a stubborn snap on her pajamas. I popped her right in the chin, and my thought is like, who hasn't done that, right? It builds character. This one, I love this. I sent my first grader to school dressed as Hulk Hogan, complete with mustache and muscles for favorite celebrity day. Little did I know it was actually the following Wednesday. Until his teacher called me laughing, crying, laughing. So I decided I wanted us to have some fun with Mother's Day, because Mother's Day's hard. Parenting's hard, right? We might as well laugh. We might as well have a good time. And in 2019, sometimes the best way to communicate is memes. So I brought five of my favorite. Get ready for these. Here is the first one. An actual photo of me and my snacks when the kids fall asleep. Does anyone else hide snacks from their children? If your kids are in here, you can't raise your hands. You get it. Those of you with babies, you don't even know what it's going to be like to have your favorite snacks taken by your children who have like laser-guided missile systems to find your snacks. It's like a spy movie. When my husband buys his favorite fancy cashews, he will hide them in his jacket and sneak them in the house carefully to keep our youngest son from eating them. Second photo. Your parenting books forget to mention that all showers will now look like this. The inside of our shower doors are very clean compared to the outside, where they press their faces up against them because they're arguing or they need our help right then and there in the shower. Also, when you're in the bathroom and they slide their fingers under the door, right? Little crazy fingers. My kids would run their Hot Wheels under the door to try to get my attention. I'd dancing from the Hot Wheels. Here's the next one. When another parent says, my kid would never do that. Good for you, Karen, but just wait. That's the way I was with my first child. I would see other kids do stuff and I'd be like, oh, that won't be my children. Well, God humbled me very quickly. All you dads are going to appreciate this next one. When your kid says, you never buy me anything. I love the idea of putting bows on it. I love this. It's funny, those of you who have kids now who are in this phase, I want to promise you, when they get a little older and they have a couple years on their own and then they come back, they are going to be so grateful. It is a completely different child. Our 20-year-old just finished his sophomore year in college. He comes home, he's making himself lunch, and he opens up the cabinet that has always been there his whole life. Nothing's changed. He opens the cabinet and goes, wow, look at all these spices. And I was like, those spices were always there. You just didn't appreciate it before. And he was like, all I can afford is salt and pepper. And I said, you're not taking any of my spices. I bought these. And as a movie lover, I love this next one. You're surrounded by toys. Are you not entertained? Right? Playrooms and toys everywhere. We get them these great presents for Christmas. And then they just want to play with the box. Right? We should just get them boxes, different decorated boxes. But I want us to have fun today, but I also want us to talk about something that is more serious, and that's mom guilt. It's something that we as moms all struggle with. If I asked you, the moms in the room, to raise your hand if you struggle with mom guilt, everybody would raise their hand. If you don't raise your hand, I'd be like, you're in church. You should really try to be more honest. Jesus knows. But it's one of those things that we need to be honest about, and we need to know, like, what are some step-by-steps to work our way out of it? I'm going to share 3 steps today to help us overcome mom guilt. Now, like I said, all moms struggle with it. Dads, y'all may struggle with it a little bit, but generally, you dads, you're not struggling like moms. One of my friends, John Acuff, I heard him say the funniest thing one time. He said, you never see dads having a conversation where one of them goes, I'm really struggling in my fatherhood today. I've been spending my day looking on Instagram and comparing my fatherhood with other people's fatherhood, and I'm feeling really low emotionally. He said, you don't feel that. Dads feel great. Dads think they're doing a good job. A dad's like, sure, my kid got a misdemeanor, but it's not a felony. That's you, dads. That's you. Yeah, I wish as moms we had a little bit of that. Now, I'm kind of picking on the dads. Y'all may have a little bit of guilt too. But if you're sitting in here going, I don't even have children, I don't feel like this relates to me at all, I want you to stay with me because I'm going to be talking about guilt. And whether we're talking about mom guilt or guilt in general for different things, I think that there's going to be things that you enjoy out of this message. So mom guilt, what is it? It is this feeling like no matter what we do, we're dropping the ball. We're not living up to a standard. We're just not doing a good job, and we feel terrible about it. Here's what happens is this culture tells moms that we have to get it all right to be good enough. We hear this message that our children's entire futures are based solely on us, that their faith is based on our faith, as if Jesus has nothing to do with it. It's all on how we perform with our kids. And we're told that if we try hard enough and we do everything absolutely perfect, that maybe, just maybe, it's going to be enough to raise a good kid. But that's not what God says. This isn't a biblical principle. These aren't biblical principles that we hear. These are cultural messages. And we can't take cultural messages and turn them into a new gospel for ourselves, right? We have to make sure that the messages we're taking in of the world, we're filtering through the Bible. We're filtering them through what God would want us to know and not just taking them from what culture says. So here are the 3 most common reasons for mom guilt. I think the first is super, super common. I think a lot of you are going to relate to it. And that's that no matter what happens, you automatically assume it's your fault. As if you magically control the world and anything that happens that's negative, it's your fault. Like when your son skins his knee on the playground and you go, if I had put him in jeans, it all would have been okay. Or your daughter doesn't get this role in the school play that she wanted and you go, If I had just signed her up for acting lessons in utero, she would have gotten that part. It's what we do. We blame ourselves. We blame ourselves for everything. The second reason for mom guilt is sometimes it really does come from a place of pride, because we think that we should be perfect. And when we fall below this standard of perfection, our pride rises up in us and we feel terrible about it. We get prideful because we're worried about what others will think of us. We get prideful because we're holding ourselves up to this superhuman standard. It's important for us to know we don't need to work that hard. Nobody's perfect. The third reason, I think sometimes the feeling of guilt is from the Lord, and He is trying to get our attention because He wants to bring certain things in our parenting and our relationship with our children into balance. But what we need to do is we need to figure out, is this feeling from God? Is it useful? Is it helpful? Or is this coming from inside of me and it's wasting my time and my energy? And we'll dive into that soon. But what I wanted to share with you first is I found some really interesting research about guilt. So from all this research, they found that guilt in itself alone, feeling guilty does not change our future behavior. We will feel guilty about something, we'll beat ourselves up over it, but we won't actually change what we do. Instead of changing our future behavior, the feeling of guilt will actually activate the part of your brain that seeks gratification. That's fascinating to me. So our behavior won't change, but we'll start looking for ways to soothe our feelings of guilt. So instead of changing our behavior because we feel guilty about something, we're more likely to hang out on the couch with a big bowl of ice cream, binge watching Netflix, all while beating ourselves up over our mistakes. Guilt doesn't change how we live our lives. Guilt doesn't change our lives for the better. Guilt doesn't change our behavior. Guilt alone serves to distract us, depress us, and destroy our peace and our happiness. But a feeling of guilt, when it's submitted to God, so we can get wisdom on, is this a signal that something needs help, something needs to be changed, or is this just me beating myself up over something? That's where real breakthrough happens. That's where you can have a really powerful breakthrough in your life and change this habit of guilt in and of itself. So here are your three ways to overcome mom guilt. They're simple. They're easy to do. They're things that we will continually be doing to overcome mom guilt in our lives. The first one is the most important. We want to go to Jesus for clarity. Open your Bibles with me to the book of James, way back in the back. The book of James. You can use your phones, but y'all know me. If you bring your paper Bible, you win church today. It's extra points. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. Jesus will give us wisdom. When we live our lives in such a way that we are continually going to Him for wisdom and clarity, He will guide us through Scripture. He will move our hearts toward Him. He will bring godly counsel in our lives to advise us. He'll move our hearts so we will begin to know if we're feeling guilt because something does need to be changed, or if we're feeling guilt because we're just beating ourselves up because we're believing the world's message of perfection. Now, I wish that God had put a book of parenting in the Bible. Wouldn't that be great? It'd be so easy. Right there in the New Testament, it would be called parenting. I think parenting chapter 2, verse 4 would tell us if we really have to feed our babies organic baby food. Or parenting chapter 4, verse 6, here's how much screen time a 6-year-old should have. Or parenting chapter 12, verse 8, here's the curfew for a 16-year-old. That would have saved so many arguments in my house. And my favorite pretend verse from the book of parenting would be the book of parenting chapter 24, verse 3. When your kids act like jerks, it is no reflection on you. But when your kids act like angels, you get all the glory. Wouldn't that be amazing? But God didn't give us that. He didn't give us the step-by-steps, the ABCs, here's exactly what to do. He gave us general principles and a Holy Spirit to guide us. This is why it's so important for us as parents to learn how to identify when it's Jesus talking to us or it's us just beating ourselves up. It's us just feeling guilty needlessly. So here's your questions. Are your thoughts condemning and harsh? They're not from Him. Are your thoughts full of grace and understanding and hope? Those sound like Jesus. Condemnation is from the enemy, but conviction is from the Lord. Loving conviction is how Jesus speaks to us, never condemnation. Jesus is never going to whisper to your heart that you're a failure or you're not good enough or that you're condemned. It's not what he does. It's not who he is. He's not going to do that. We were in the Romans earlier for the time just before this session. Let's turn back to Romans really quickly. We're going to go to Romans 8. Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That means there is no condemnation for you. Period. Full stop. No condemnation. You are not condemned because your meals aren't perfect. You are not condemned because your kid gets too much screen time. You're not condemned because your husband left and you're doing it all alone this year. You're not condemned because your house is a mess. You're not condemned because you make mistakes. You're not condemned because you're up the stairs you get at Target when your kid throws a tantrum because air is touching their skin. You're not condemned because you can't afford what the kids want. You're not condemned because you secretly sometimes feel resentful about taking care of your child with special needs. You're not condemned because of your disappointment that life doesn't look like what you wanted it to this year. You're not condemned because of your rebellious child. You're not condemned because of your frustration at cleaning up the same messes every single day. You're not condemned because your marriage is harder than you imagined it would be right now. You're not condemned because you just need some time away from those kids that you love so much. You're not condemned because you can't live up to the standards of your mom or your mother-in-law. You're not condemned because you can't do it all. You're not condemned because you can't live up to the crazy high standards of this culture. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The voice of condemnation is not from God. It is the voice of culture. And we don't follow culture. We follow Jesus. Amen? Amen. The voice in your head condemning you is never going to be from him. He will bring things to your attention lovingly. He will offer grace. He will offer hope, but he will never bring condemnation. So the second thing we can do to help overcome mom guilt is reject the mom superhero myth. Now, because I live with six males, I love superhero movies. I am willing to admit to you that I have seen Avengers Endgame multiple times in the theater. We were there first day, we had matching Marvel t-shirts, we did the whole thing. I love superhero movies because of the battle of good and evil. People rising to a challenge, doing more than they thought they could do. But I think sometimes we think that there's this superhero mom out there and she's setting the standard. That there's this woman out there who's doing everything correctly. She wakes up in the morning, she wakes up early, she has her quiet time, then the kids wake up, she makes them an organic gluten-free breakfast with Mickey Mouse pancakes and little things shaped certain ways, they all have their breakfast, they clean up together, then she teaches them like Mandarin Chinese, I don't know, and then they start knitting sweaters for the poor. I think that's what we imagine that some mothers are doing. When all of my boys were under the age of 10, I went to go visit my mother-in-law. And she woke up and she made breakfast for everybody and she was in such a good mood. And I was so defeated in that season of life. And I sat in her kitchen and I said, I really imagined I was going to be a happy mother, but I'm not. I said, I'm just trying to keep my children alive and I have to yell at them all the time and I have to discipline them all the time. And I just thought I was going to be happy and things were going to be easier. And I look at you and I wanted to be a mother like you and I'm not. And she said, I wasn't this way when the kids were little. It's just like you when the kids were little. You're feeling this way because your kids are little. It's going to be easier. You're going to be a happy mom again soon. Don't worry. And I was like, thank goodness. Because in my head, I thought I was just doing something wrong. I thought if it's this hard now, I'm just never going to be happy as a mom. This is tough. But she reminded me, we go through different seasons. And if you're listening to me now and your kids are little and they're constantly just trying to jump off the roof or choke on dog food or whatever it is they're doing, it gets much better. Listen to a woman who's made it to the other side. As they get older, it's great. And if any of you have little kids and people go, just wait till they're teenagers, enjoy them how they are. Teenagers are great. You're going to love it. It just gets better and better. I don't know where I was, but I just wanted to tell y'all that this morning. I know. There's no perfect mom. It's a myth. We go through seasons. Some seasons are hard. Some seasons are easy. But it's okay. It's the way we are. And we aren't superhero moms, and we can't control our kids. Controlling our kids works great when they're babies. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do when they're babies, make sure that they're warm enough and they're fed and they're sleeping and all those other things. But the rest, from the time they first go to school to the time they leave for college, we're just slowly releasing the illusion of control. I remember when my oldest two were young kids, they used to wrestle all the time. And see, here's the joke. I was an only child. I never had brothers. So I would watch them wrestle and be like, oh, that's like lion cubs wrestling. Like, they're just getting their energy out. This is great. And other moms would say, oh, my boys fight all the time, and it's terrible. I would secretly judge them and feel really prideful because I'd be like, my boys don't ever argue or fight. This is great. Because they never yelled at each other. They never, like, punched each other in the face, but man, they wrestled all the time. So one day I walked in the living room when they were wrestling and I said, hey, are you guys happy fighting or angry fighting? Because I just want to make sure your hearts are in the right place. And they said, happy fighting, Mom. And I said, great, go for it, boys. Don't hurt the furniture. Well, I found out last year, every single time they were angry. Every single time. They were so mad at each other. They didn't even collude to lie to me together. They were so focused on tearing each other's heads off. They were like, happy fighting. And I was like, great. I'm such a great mom. You guys just get your energy out. Like, you just don't know. You can't control them. But we're not supposed to control everything. We can't control everything because it just doesn't work. I mean, what's interesting for us is we have these five signs. What's interesting about having everyone the same gender in a family is you would think same parents, same environment, that everything would be similar, right? All the boys were parented exactly the same, except for the youngest. He's a little spoiled, so it's church. I can't lie to y'all. The youngest isn't. But all the other boys are parented exactly the same, so you would think they'd be similar, right? They would all kind of be cut from the same cloth. They are completely different. I have some boys that are sports stars. Other boys that to save their life, they couldn't throw a ball across the room. Some that get straight A's. Some that are like C's get degrees. Some that are introverts. Some that are extroverts. Some that are rule followers and some that are rebellious. It's just who they are. They were born that way. And I realize God gives each of these little children, you know, uniquely gifted and crafted abilities and strengths and weaknesses that we can't control. It's our job to love them and to raise them up as well as we can, but it's definitely not our job to completely determine who they become. That's between them and the Lord. I think that we sometimes believe the lie that everything is on our shoulders, that if our kids watch too much TV, or they eat too much sugar, or we're not at every play or performance, that their life is going to be ruined. But that's not responsibility. That's not control that we ever had. We are their parents. We're guiding them. We're loving them. But we don't control every aspect of their lives. I think sometimes we think that if our little kids do anything bad, that obviously we've messed up, that it's a reflection on us. But here's the truth. Little kids don't need to be taught to do anything wrong. We're going to stay in the book of Proverbs, but let's turn to Proverbs 22 really quickly. Proverbs 22. :15a. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Here's the truth about kids. Kids are not born needing to learn how to do bad things. Our precious, beautiful, angel, perfect children have a sin nature that they're going to be wrestling with for the rest of their lives. We didn't put it there. Every child born right now in modern times has it. It dates back to the garden. It's not a failure of our parenting when they misbehave. We didn't do anything wrong to make them that way. Anyone that works in the toddler room can attest to this. I love toddlers. They're sweet, they're precious, wonderful little angels, but in big groups, they're scary. Right? If you have toddlers and you pick them up from the person in the toddler room, just say, thank you, thank you. They're lovely. They're sweet little babies, but they can't talk. They tend to cry a lot or scream a lot. They tend to have runny noses. They push each other down. They will bite each other and they will steal each other's snacks. If I have to work in the toddler room, I just throw goldfish crackers at them and turn on Paw Patrol and pray that their mamas come back. Like, they bless them, but they're little savages. Their parents didn't teach them how to be little savages. That's just in them. It's the parents' job to start working that out of them. I mean, this is the thing. We can't control everything. We're called to love our children, to teach our children responsibility and to guide them, but we're not called to micromanage their lives. Jesus is their Savior. We're not their saviors. There's no perfect mother, but it's our job to point them to the person who is perfect. It's not us. It's not supposed to be. That's our job. That's our real responsibility as moms. So we know the first one is we want to go to Jesus for clarity. We want to reject the superhero myth. And we want to protect ourselves from comparison. See, we live in a social media world. And I love Pinterest. I love Instagram. I hang out on Instagram every single day. I love it. But I am so glad these things did not exist when I was a young mom because I would have felt like a failure every single day. I would have had no idea that there are women out there in the world with perfectly decorated homes making mason jar salads and meal prepping with their organic herb gardens with flat abs. You're not supposed to have flat abs once you've had a child. And they're painting the map of the Lord of the Rings on their fingernails in their downtime. That's what Pinterest has taught me. It's ridiculous. Pinterest and social media can be bad for your mental health. Research has come out recently that shows that the more time we spend on social media, the more depressed we can become if we're passively scrolling and we're not engaging. Because what happens is even though in our head we know this is the highlight reel, this is the best of the best, subconsciously our brain starts comparing our real life to this curated perfection we see online. Like, we'll see everyone's Mother's Day pictures today, and I love Mother's Day pictures. I'll post them too. But what we don't share is on the car on the way to church when we're trying to, like, smack our kids to get them to stop fighting. Like, we don't share those videos, and honestly, it's good. Nobody needs to see it. Like, I will share a picture of me smiling on social media, but I won't share my dirty laundry room because, honestly, who wants to see it? You know, we all have that behind the scenes. So it's important for us to know this is curated perfection. This isn't real. And one way that we can protect ourselves from the curse of comparison is with our friends. Years ago, somebody told me that in the Army, there's something called battle buddies. And so battle buddies are assigned to each other. They look out for each other in battle and out of battle. So they look out for each other, their physical health, their emotional health, just, are you doing okay? And I thought, that's what we need as adults. We need battle buddies. Isn't that a great idea? So I think as moms, we need parenting battle buddies. We need people who will speak into our lives. Where I told you, we're staying in the book of Proverbs. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, 20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. We need to choose the people that we walk with well. We need to choose our battle buddies well, especially those that speak into our parenting. We want to find some battle buddies that we can trust, that we can share our feelings with, and will always keep us on the right track. I have a friend, Carol. Carol's my parenting battle buddy. She's a few years ahead of me in her parenting, so she has great experience, she has great wisdom, and she is always encouraging me to be more realistic in my parenting, to not hold myself up to superhuman standards. She often helps me remember that I can read all the parenting books in the world. I can read all the blogs and listen to the podcast, and that's great, and that's helpful. But what really matters and what really changes everything is seeking wisdom from God. And she reminds me not to fall in the social media comparison trap. She challenged me years ago to make a social media boundary in my life. So I have a rule. And my rule is, if I'm having a terrible day, I can't go on social media, period. If I have a kid home from school sick and I'm behind on my work deadlines and the toilet's overflowing, I'm not allowed to go on and look at other people's vacation photos because it will make me feel worse. I have to wait till I'm emotionally healthy to go look at those vacation photos because then I will genuinely like them and leave great comments. But if I'm not in a good place, I'm not even allowed to go on. That's what keeps me sane because comparing our real life to this curated perfection that we see on social media, it's dangerous. It's almost as dangerous as trying crafts that you see on Pinterest. Has anybody tried a Pinterest craft? It's dangerous. I brought a few of my favorites. The first one is a sock wreath. That looks easy. That looks nice, right? That's cute. It shouldn't be too hard. Well, here's how it turns out. It's not good. It's not good. That's why I don't do crafts. Second one is the classic Betty Crocker cake train. How cute would this be for a little boy's birthday party, right? Adorable. It's squares and icing. Could do that. Here's how it turns out. That's why I get all my cakes from Kroger. The last one's my favorite. It's the Easter lamb cake. How cute is this? Has anybody made the Easter lamb cake? I feel like you need a gold star. I want to make this. I want to put it on Instagram and look fancy. But if I made it, here's how it would turn out. Looks like a demon lamb. You'd have to hide it from your children. They'd have nightmares about your cake. The worst. So here's what I want to leave you with. Mother's Day 2019. We need to parent with a lot of grace for our kids. We need to parent with a lot of grace for ourselves. And we need to walk in that grace that Jesus has given us. We need to lean into his promises. We know that Philippians 1:6 says that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Jesus has you. Jesus is going to take care of your kids. Our kids don't need us to be perfect. They just need us to point to the one who is perfect. Jesus is perfect, and it is perfectly okay for us not to be. We can trust God with the kids that he has entrusted to us. He's the one that made you a parent. He's the one that made you a mom. He is the one that chose you as the perfect parent for those kids. So let's decide to trust him with our lives, trust him with our kids, and shake off some of the mom guilt today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, you are so good to us. We love you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, I pray for every woman today who has a prodigal child, that she's waiting for them to come home. I pray that this is the year that they return. Lord, for every woman who is praying that this is the year that she gets to start a family, I pray that you answer that prayer and this be her year. For every woman that struggles with disappointment and difficulty because she is in a hard season of motherhood, Lord, give her just extra favor and grace and strength and hope for the future that it gets easier and easier as she goes. We love you, Jesus. We're so thankful for you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Allie. Hey, we're so glad that you are here today. If you have heard something that you need to talk about or you need prayer, we have some staff and elders standing by in the fireside room outside these doors. And if you are a first-time guest, we would love to meet you, so stop by the center of our lobby. Also, don't forget, enter the Best Parents Ever competition at the tables in the lobby. Let's hear it one more time for all the moms in our lives. Thank you so much for being here. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you next week.